Because I don't want to.
You can't answer the question before I've asked it.
End of segment.
Cut, cut, cut.
This week on the Linux Action Show.
No, we're not the Linux Action Show. They ripped the arse out of us the other day for talking about them on every episode.
Really? Or even once.
Oh, well, yes, no. Mr. Bacon went on the Linux Action Show, but now he's on his proper show, his home.
A far superior podcast, I believe.
A far superior podcast. Welcome back to Lug Radio.
The thing is, we should get those guys on this one.
We definitely should. I invited
them to Lug Radio Live, but they can't make it.
Well, that's a fair... It's halfway around the world.
Oh, so. Are we going to go to Linux Action? Oh, no.
Some guy sent me an email saying, "I'd like to apologise on behalf of the American nation for the way you were treated on the Linux Action Show." I was thinking, "What?
Were you treated badly?"
I had a great time when I was on there.
There's plenty of other things you can apologise about for being American.
Excuse me one second. I'm Stuart Langridge.
I'm John O'Bacon.
I'm Adam Sweets.
And I'm not Matthew Revel.
No, you are Aid Bradshaw. This is Lug Radio, not the Linux Action
Season
Show.
4, episode 21. We've got. Let's talk about what we're going to talk about.
Fedora 7 is out.
And it's very good by the looks of things. I haven't tried it yet, but it looks very good.
Yep.
What are you basing that on then, if you haven't tried it?
Well, it just looks good.
A screenshot of a GNOME desktop.
Oh, look, yeah. Ooh, that looks brilliant!
Hang on a second. Roll reversal.
I've just been balanced and objective.
We are talking about distributions a bit in this episode. I'm getting a beating for not using Debian.
And a beating for a certain wireless...
indiscretions,
shall we say.
Bacon gets a beating for just sacking off all of his free software and using his Sony PlayStation 3 for everything.
We also discussed the latest patent deal with Microsoft, and that was...
Yummy, we love it.
Yep.
And Linspire, yes. And we're going to... Emails. Did we talk about anything? Are we going to talk about anything else?
Lug Radio Live.
That would be a good thing to talk about.
It would be a good thing since it's in 2.5 weeks.
And we're going to give a special prize away in this episode for anyone who can suggest a suitable means to strangle my fucking dog.
Okay, I suggest we strangle them with a big long string of sausages. Can I have a prize?
That reminds me of something. We also announced the winner of the Get High with Linux competition.
Oh, we do indeed.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for that.
Hey, Ak, why do you still run Ubuntu? Because it occurred to me the other day that you don't
You're
like...
You're an arsehole.
Because you don't like the codecs thing, and you don't like the fact that they were thinking about putting non-free drivers in there, and...
And you're a whinge bag.
And, yeah, you've got very high principles as far as software freedom goes. And it occurred to me the other day that Ubuntu maybe isn't the best distro for you, and maybe Debian is. And Debian just released Etch, or version 4, or whatever it's called.
Yep.
So I just wondered, how come you don't run Debian?
Well.
There's a big answer going to come here, isn't there?
It is sort of a big answer, because this is a question I have explored myself in the past.
Is it because you're a sellout?
I must confess. It depends on whether you actually want to hear my answer.
Not really, to be honest. No. Can we just make up his answer?
Yeah, the
answer
I want to hear.
The answer actually is irrelevant. We're still going to bring the arse out of him anyway.
Right, okay.
But please speak.
Before I started using Ubuntu, I used Debian.
Right.
And
is that back in your Mutt days?
Yes, actually.
Your male client was Mutt, wasn't it?
Yeah. He went, "Our lad, it was all Debian." And I remember a discussion I had with Mr. Jonathan Edward James Bacon.
Thanks once again for that.
I've got to get
I have a stage name for a reason.
I've got a stage name, you fucking ego bastard.
I'm fucking joking.
So Wanker is your stage name?
I thought it was Butt Munch.
Anyway.
I want to hear Axe answer now.
Back to the point, right?
Suddenly interested.
Numerous times over the preceding 2 or 3 years before I shifted to Ubuntu, John and I had a conversation where he said, I'm a Debian user, same as I was, but I'd love to see Debian but done right. Someone who takes Debian and focuses it towards the users rather than towards people who think buying kernels is fun. Yeah, essentially. You know, take the... the things that I think made Debian better than Red Hat,
right.
But then take the things that make Red Hat better than Debian and apply them. The reason I think Debian's better than Red Hat is because I like the underlying stuff. I like.
You're talking about apt.
I'm broadly talking about apt.
Right.
But I like some of the other configuration stuff as well. The point is that shifting Red Hat to use that would be a major league task. The underlying Debian configuration always just seems to make more sense to me.
Shifting Red Hat to use apt would be a major
task. Not just apt.
Right. Debconf.
Debconf, mate.
I mean, you get used to the way your etc. directory is laid out.
Exactly. And to be honest with you, a large part of it is just that I was more used to Debian than I am to Red Hat.
Okay. But moving on,
yes.
Then.
So it would be difficult to make Red Hat pick up the underlying stuff I like from Debian, but it would be reasonably okay to take the stuff that Red Hat did well, the other stuff, GUI configuration, and giving you a desktop where when you put a CD in, X works, you didn't have to configure it, and apply that to Debian. And that's what Ubuntu did. John Owen said numerous times, I think it'd be a really great idea if someone did this, and then Ubuntu did it. And I was highly, 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 highly pleased.
I remember you that. I remember and, you waiting for that for years, yeah. Weren't you?
And shifted to it as soon as it came along. I have since, and we've had this discussion on the show more than once, and I've posted about it on my site and everything, been slightly concerned about the increasing small creep of non-free-ish stuff into Ubuntu. And
small creep.
Just before Christmas, I posted a thing on my site
someone
saying,
Matt.
Can someone tell me... I did post saying, I'm a bit worried about this, can someone tell me how I can strip out the firmware and stuff like that? I looked at moving to GNU Sense for precisely that reason, but it was dapper and I was already on Edgy and then Feisty came out as well.
Because I'd heard you say things like about, I want to remove all the non-free stuff.
Exactly.
And that's what made me think, well, why don't you just run Debian then?
They're
all about the freedom, right?
Yeah, they are, absolutely. Okay. But they're not all about the user experience, which is the other thing I care about. But
it's just GNOME, isn't
hang
it?
Hang on, bear
to God.
No.
It is. Stock GNOME is nothing like what you get in distributions.
It isn't.
Now, I do need to be clear about this.
Have you ever checked out, have you ever compiled GNOME?
Well, I know that I run Red Hat.
Have you ever compiled GNOME?
I run Fedora on
have
my
you
desktop.
Have you ever compiled anything in the last 3 years, to be fair?
Have you ever compiled a stock GNOME without any pre-configuration?
No.
It's completely different.
Okay. Can I make my point that both Fedora, because I run both, remember?
Yeah.
Both Fedora and Ubuntu, their GNOME looks pretty much
that's because
identical.
They're configured very similarly.
They're not both going to make the same configuration changes to it.
They are.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Well, don't look at me, pal. Talk to the GNOME.
Well, it's an open source world, isn't it?
Anyway.
stock GNOME on Debian.
When I shifted from Debian to Ubuntu, Ubuntu had made a large, large block of changes of improvements over Debian. Now, since then, as I understand it, that large block is still the place, but the top 5% of that block is the stuff I don't really approve of. That making it easy for people to get at non-free codecs, making it easy for people to get at firmware, thinking about making it easy to turn on binary drivers. I hate making it easy for people to not use free software. Yes, I do. Yes, we're not going to get into that discussion now. The point is, I personally can and have turned all that stuff off on my machine. wait, hang on. You can bollock me about the wireless thing in a minute, and that's fine. But before we get that far, I do need to be reasonably clear that I have not tried Debian since I moved to Ubuntu.
Because I thought
so they may have taken a lot of the changes and improvements that Ubuntu made.
I would have thought with the release of version 4, you'd have taken an opportunity to have a look at it.
I'll be honest with you, I haven't had time. I haven't had time to look at Fedora Core 7, which I wanted to do because it was coming out.
There is no such thing as Fedora Core 7.
Oh, what is it then?
It's Fedora 7.
Oh, okay. I haven't had a chance to look at Fedora 7.
Right.
Yeah, Fedora 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
Fedora 7 looks brilliant.
I would like to look at other distributions, but I just don't have the time. And every time I
try... That's what VMs are for, dude.
Nah, it doesn't help me much.
It makes you know whether the GNOME is a good-looking desktop or not.
Well, yeah, but that's not what I care about. I don't care about what the colours on the desktop are.
No, but you said usability. So you'd know if all your menus are the same and...
But that's not the point. I can't test whether I find something to be usable by spending half an hour playing with a desktop in a window. I need to actually try using it.
All you basically do, surely, is get email and browse the web using the lovely Firefox.
I'd say that's the definition of whether it's usable, is if you can just take to it and use it and...
Yeah, no, I agree, but the problem is that I can't do the things that I normally do.
So
because a lot of it depends on stuff in my home directory. I like to test whether I can edit Python files in the same way that I do at the moment. Whether the syntax highlighting is the same way that it works at the moment. Whether I can easily set up my home backup strategy in the same way that
you
it does
use
at the moment.
Syntax highlighting. I thought you were a Vi man.
Absolutely not. I use gedit for everything.
So the point is
that I can't test a new distribution quickly. I'd have to spend some time using it for a couple of days for everything that I do to know whether it fits. And I don't have the time to do that in case I spend 2 days fighting with it and then I get 2 days with no work done.
Isn't it? Because, yeah. in, as you say, in half an hour's usage, you'll maybe be happy, satisfied enough to... decide to use the system, but then 3 days later you find something you really dislike.
Exactly.
In Axe Defense,
in
I mean,
half an hour I can review whether I like the rounded corners on Windows, but that's not what I actually fucking care about. Yeah.
In Axe Defense, to be fair to him, he's taken more of a pragmatic approach to this than he normally takes. I mean, as we all know, Axe gets on his fucking high horse about freedom all the time, and even though
he walk the walk?
I'm enjoying watching him shake his head into his microphone while you're speaking.
This is where the aforementioned bollocking about the wireless comes through.
This is a story
cue the listeners up here. So Ak was over here, and as our fan base will be fully aware about this right now, Ak went out to buy the freest possible laptop he could buy, and bought a laptop of military grade proprietary nature.
I have already,
and let's step forward, okay?
Okay.
So Ak made a mistake, so obviously he's not going to use any of the proprietary hardware in there. He's not going to use any proprietary drivers, and that's just not the way he works, because of course he's a freedom lover. And of course, as has been mentioned all the time on the show, the rest of us hate freedom, but Ak doesn't hate freedom. So
I believe to remember the phrase, no compromise, absolutely no compromise. No compromise,
none. Yeah. And of course, let's not forget as well that ethics is not something that's about convenience. Ethics is something that you need to work at. You need to make sure that you research all of your ethics and all implications of your computing experience.
3 years of bile coming out now.
Bear with me, right?
So anyway,
you made the point.
Now get
on to your unreasonable and unfair telling of the story, and then I get to put my case.
So anyway, Ak was over here, and he upgraded to Feisty, and his wireless card seemed to work. Right?
For the first time ever.
Now, Ak knows full well that some non-free stuff is in Ubuntu, and he has to remove it afterwards. So he upgraded his machine, and his wireless card seemed to work, which is great. And he didn't really want to check to see if it was non-free. He just thought, I know what I'll do. I'll stick my fingers in my ears and go,
hang on. It goes like this, right? Yes, I upgraded to 5G and my Broadcom wireless card.
Speak your lies.
Magically started working. Now, I did try and work with it before with the BCM43XX drive and all that kind of thing, and was quite pleased about that. But I couldn't get any with it. I couldn't get it to work. So I thought, fuck it, and went out and bought a USB wireless thing. And then when I upgraded to Feisty, it just magically started working. I hadn't tested it till I came around to Jono's, because I use wired network at home, precisely because my wireless doesn't work.
It's a miracle it worked on Jono's network.
And then, to be honest with you, yes, Jono's...
gives you a DHCP address on the wrong subnet, which you have to override manually to a different subnet. And you can't use Network Manager. How do you cope?
I can't reset the bloody access point.
It's because you're a noob.
Yes,
you
is.
Can't even hard, like... factory default reset.
If I no, factory reset,
Jono can't.
No, if you, I've done it
he's
two
got
or three
fucking
times.
Stupid fingers that can't press buttons.
Stupid sausage fingers. Can't fit into the
Listen, pal, you are one to talk about fucking sausage fingers. You bastard.
Anyway, back to my wireless card. I thought, wow, my wireless worked. That's quite cool. And then Jono said, I bet it's using the non-free drivers. And I thought, maybe it is. So I thought, I'll tell you what I'll do. Hang on.
Let's just pretend it's not.
Since Feisty has the restricted driver manager, I thought it'll be using a restricted driver. And then I'll be able to find out. And if it is, then I'll remove it. So I started up the restricted driver manager, and it says, couldn't start the restricted driver manager because you do not have the Linux 2.6.15 restricted stuff installed. So I thought, I must not have any restricted stuff installed then. Therefore, it must be fine. It works with free software. There you go. Now, I can see...
In the same way that famine doesn't exist if it's not on the TV right now.
I will concede I'm being slightly ingenuous in not properly looking hard at it. In my defence, so far, I haven't used it other than when I'm at Jono's, and that's only because his network's fucked.
It is pretty fucked.
I'm not a murderer. I only murder people when I'm at my mate's house.
As long as you don't look, it's not murdering.
So, anyway, that's why I don't run Debian.
And are you going to give Debian Etch a run for its money?
If I get some time to do so, yes.
That's and like the emphasis, saying at some point, isn't
no,
it?
The emphasis is on time, because it's going to need about 3.5 weeks to get it up to a standard.
Well, that's
probably not true anymore.
I'm joking.
It may well not be true. Debian may be brilliant.
To be fair, the screenshots I saw did look pretty good, actually, compared to the old days.
Right. Okay.
However, you've already discussed this. I mean, you looked at GNUSense, but there's no migration path for you without actually wiping your machine. And
no, exactly. And GNUSense is Dapper, which means I lose the last.
We should
The last two batches of improvements in Edgy and Feisty. And as I say, I like 95% of the improvements.
And your wireless will stop working, probably.
And my wireless will stop working. Back to the USB wireless.
Just before we finish, we should get someone from Debian on the show. Have we ever had anyone from Debian on the show?
Ian Murdoch.
From Debian. He's not on Debian, not with Debian anymore.
He is the Ian in Debian.
Yeah, but is he working with Debian now? To come on the show and talk about Debian?
We could do with someone. Who's DPL? Sam Hockavar?
I don't know.
It'd be useful to get someone from Debian on the show. People who are Debian users, if you think that it's as usable an experience as Ubuntu, and this is not so you can start up more fucking Vim terminals, but actually usable, tell me and I'll seriously take a look at it.
Put your sandals on, write us an email. So, at the end of May, the latest version of Fedora came out.
Yes.
Now called Fedora 7 instead of Fedora Core 7, because they've taken the two source branches and merged them together.
Right.
Now, hang on, what does that mean?
So, you know how you have Universe and we have Extras and stuff like that?
Right, yeah.
So, Extras and Core are now the same thing. They're all merged together. So, all your packages are in one place.
Okay. So, they support all of that.
What was the difference between Core and Extras? Was it Core stuff is supported by Red Hat and Extras isn't? Like the difference between Main and Universe? Or was it just, we don't like the names of these
packages? My understanding was it was Main and Universe. That's my understanding.
Because Universe is just a big package archive that's built against Ubuntu, but it's not supported.
Which is, quote, community supported, unquote, which means no fucker supports most
of
the stuff.
Well, the whole idea of Fedora is the whole thing is community supported, so...
Oh, good point. So there wasn't much of a distinction between Core and Extras anyway.
Exactly. None that I ever understood. Yep. I know Extras was enabled by default, as far as I can tell.
Indeedly do.
So that's a change in name, I suppose you'd call it, rather than...
Everyone is still going to keep calling it FC7 or Fedora Core 7.
I called it Fedora Core 7 earlier. Yeah,
I think Fedora Core sounds cool, though.
It does. It sounds cooler than Fedora, I think. Yeah. Fedora Core. But now it wouldn't be Core. I think both that's the point.
Anyway,
there's
more than a name change. Not a great deal more, but... to be honest, it's like any 6 month release cycle, and I've bitched about it before now. What is the point of doing a 6 month release cycle when all you get is a newer version of GNOME, a couple of tiny little things under the covers?
I think that
Ubuntu is the same.
I mean, that's an argument that we've had before. I mean, the advantage is that the Fedora is a community user's distribution, I believe, and
why do any of them come out with these big, like, leaping from version 6 to version 7? I mean, it's not worthy of a major release.
When it keeps the excitement level.
It should be 6.3 or 6.4 or something.
That's not a bad point. I mean, when Windows XP came out, a lot of people bitched and said that should be Windows 2000.1.
Yeah.
And that's...
In the Red Hat days, it used to be 7.1, 7.2, 7.3.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's... purely
there were small incremental changes. But
it's purely branding. I mean, if you're my dad, calling something 7.1 sounds complicated and hard, which is why I do my best to. My dad runs Ubuntu Dapper.
And that's 6.04.
Exactly.
That's a lot more sense, doesn't it?
No, it's a lot less sense. That's
right, okay.
But they've got names for them. I mean, you don't often hear people refer to Ubuntu 6.04.
Fedora is called Moonshine.
Yeah, but they don't do that. They don't do the names thing.
They've always done the names thing.
Yeah, but no one knows.
They're code names rather than...
It's not part of the...
I'm guessing most of the listeners probably have never heard of the fact that it was called Moonshine.
I didn't know it was called Moonshine. Okay. Right. The point is that if you called it 7.1, it sounds like a computery thing. Yeah, because they've decided to go with numbers rather than names as their primary means...
So why don't we talk about what's in it?
Anyway. So I think one of the biggest things that something I don't fully understand is they say that better laptop support for power usage from this... either tickless or a dynamic ticking kernel.
Indeed.
Now, I know I've got my trusty technical friend on my left here.
Ah.
Who's now going to explain what a ticking kernel is and why having a dynamically ticking kernel is a good thing if you're a laptop owner.
Now, bear with me. This is a description for people who are new to Linux and people who barely know what the kernel is. And if you are kernel developers, are not to write in and go, no, that's not how it works, right? This is the 50,000 feet in the air explanation.
This is a fuck bucket explanation.
It is.
It's basically, if I'm wrong, don't complain.
Yep.
If I'm genuinely
well,
wrong,
I agree
don't debate
with
it. If I'm wrong
well.
In small detail, just shut up, man. I don't care.
Can you tell us in
It's quite a big thing,
minutes.
Though, isn't it? Quite a big change
yeah.
to the kernel.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the idea behind it, as I understand it, is at the moment, your kernel wakes up and asks all the programs and all the devices on the system, do you need anything? About 200 times a second, or possibly 200,000 times a second, I'm not sure. The idea behind this dynamic thing is that an application, instead of saying... Instead of just waiting for the kernel to wake up and ask it if it needs things, an application or a device can say, I don't need you to ask me about anything now for 0.5 seconds.
Right.
And if all your applications do that and all your devices do that, the kernel could look and go, well, no one needs to be woken up now for another half a second. So I can just completely go to sleep and use no power for the next half a second and not wake up 200 times in that period.
And that saves quite a lot of power for
it
a
does
laptop
have a lot
user.
Of power.
Right, okay.
Intel have just brought out Intel have just brought out a program called PowerTop.
Right.
Which you run it and it basically washes all the stuff on your machine and finds out what's waking up a lot.
Yeah.
It turns out the Python interpreter wakes up 200 times a second just to see if you've pressed a key, which is a bit shit. Or it used to.
Yeah.
And there are lots and lots of programs like that that wake up. You know, it turns out that it polls your Gmail 50 times a second.
So anyway, so what else? What other cool stuff can we see?
They've done a shitload more work with SE Linux. I mean, they've done... Red Hat and Fedora have all done a lot of work towards SE Linux.
Because it's kind of like the thing you use, isn't it, for SE Linux? Is that right?
It's what?
It's kind of the main distro that people tend to...
Yeah, absolutely,
Is it in
They've actually made SE Linux usable, where
is
it
that,
wasn't before.
Is that because of... Is that because there's Red Hat engineers working on the server side who are basically pushing changes to Fedora?
Quite possibly, but there's also changes from the community.
I was going to say, is it largely Red Hat or largely
they've
community
They've also
support?
Introduced like,
largely
some
the
tools.
NSA
invented it.
Yeah. Do they still work on it? Do they go, here's a good idea, and punch it out into the world, and now we
no,
do
no,
it?
They stay. Yeah, definitely.
I've got a question for you, Aid. Have you used SE Linux yet? This is not me taking the piss either. I'm actually interested.
Well, in the last few releases of Fedora, it's been there sort of on by default. Mm-hmm. First of all, it's been like permissive, so it doesn't like enforce.
Yes.
My experience of it in the past has been to pretty much disable it when it starts getting in
the way.
That's
why I'm asking.
Because they put so much work into the policies now, you don't have to disable it by default.
Well, I mean,
because the policies are really useful now.
I think if you want to use Red Hat or, I guess, CentOS or Fedora, if you want to actually host web-facing systems, web servers, FTP servers, whatever, it's fucking great news, but it's really hard from what I've looked at.
It is, but that's why they put all this work into the policies, and it makes a real difference.
I'm
moving on with other stuff.
One thing, when I was... Fedora's released when I was at Linux Tech, and we were opposite... The Ubuntu stand was opposite the Fedora people, and there's loads of them there, and they were like really busy on the first
day.
Was
the air all sizzling in between?
It was absolutely fantastic. There's a good kind of crack between the two projects.
Yeah.
And one of the guys who's...
What, in the floor?
Just a gaping cavern.
You fell over again with your arse out.
We're all friends, remember?
my equivalent with the Fedora project is a guy called Max Spevak, who does the community sort of side of things.
And he sits at home and listens to music all day.
He just writes blog entries for a living as
well. Diagnosis murder.
Watches diagnosis.
Television.
Yeah. And we got on really, really well. He's a really nice chap. And he was kind of like filling me in on some of the bits and pieces that are going into Fedora. Obviously very proud of the new release. And he said that there's a new tool that they've got for rolling derivatives.
Yeah, the spins they're calling them, aren't they?
Well, spins are spins are the result of that process, but they've apparently got some new tool that allows a GUI
really
tool for
easy.
Making it really easy.
Yeah.
And that sounds really fucking
that
cool.
That does sound good.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't... Sorry, I don't know if you had another point to make there.
No, I mean, all I was going to say was that people have been talking about making customized Knoppix CDs and stuff like that for a while, but it's always been quite a difficult process.
Yeah.
I didn't realise there was an easy way of making a derivative, a spin, they call it. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question, Aid?
Adam had a question.
Sorry.
Well, the other thing I was going to say is one thing Fedora are really good at these days is virtualization.
Yeah, they've
Zen.
Yeah.
Zen Manager, is it called?
Again, that's another area they pour loads into.
I've not seen Fedora 7.
Surely SUSE should be the best of that.
That's... Absolutely not.
Really?
No.
Isn't Zen like funded by Novell?
Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know. But
Fedora... Zen's funded by ZenSource, the company, isn't it?
I thought a large chunk of it was funded by Novell.
It was a research project at the University of Cambridge, and they spun up a company around it.
Yeah, I know, but I thought
There's
a large chunk
of
money
goes into virtualization in Fedora.
Really?
Well, the thing is, this is the next kind of big fucking server battleground, isn't it? And Linux is whooping Windows ass all over. But Fedora and Red Hat, particularly, they've made deploying Xen really fucking easy, I think. Yeah.
And
days.
Not just Xen as well. There's a, what's the other one?
KVM.
Yeah, KVM. So that they've put work into both areas and a lot of work into
it. Well, here's the thing, right? You say that, and I'm quite prepared to believe you. I don't know much about it. Mm-hmm. But when you do virtualization, you use VMware.
Yeah, I use two types of virtualization. I use OpenVZ and I use VMware.
I wanted to be there for that which conversation. Zen,
which Red Hat are apparently really good at.
That's right.
Why?
Because he hates freedom.
Because I hate freedom.
OpenVZ's
open source.
It's so funny how we all rib each other about hating freedom, yet we all use little bits of non-free software.
No, I know. No,
in broadly the same level. I mean, like, you use VMware.
VMware have got an open source
Skype.
Section.
He uses his VMware, wireless card.
VMware have got an open source section,
bastard.
By the way.
Heretic.
Have they?
If you go to their website, they've got an open source section.
Yeah,
yeah,
but
VMware itself.
The actual VMware
you can
is open
download
source.
LibTiff.
Exactly. They've gone in the process of building VMware. We had to build some cool new GTK widgets, so we've open sourced them. And full credit to them for doing so. But it's not actually, you know, the core point of what the company's about.
Of course, it's not. And I wouldn't even begin to say that it was.
Incidentally, I was quite. I thought,
but
just
VMware is still worlds ahead of everything else.
Really? I mean, this is the point I'm trying to make. You're saying Red Hat streets ahead of everyone else in implementing Xen and
KVM. They've been at it for years. Remember?
Yeah.
They've been at it for years.
But doesn't Xen have the performance edge these days?
I thought
we're digressing. Let's talk about Fedora.
Okay.
I don't know, things like plug and play monitors that they're making a big deal about. I'm not sure why.
I have a question for you, and I mean this. And I don't, this is not intended to take the piss. This is a legitimate. This is a legitimate question.
Feel the boot descending.
Shadow cast over my head.
I think it's safe to say. I mean. And I'm trying to be objective here, but certainly pretty much all of the Linux conferences that I go to,
right.
The vast majority of machines are running Ubuntu. Fedora's clearly...
You must be so proud.
I am, very proud. Yeah. Clearly Fedora's
it'd be a good
making...
Day. It'd be a good day when everyone else has gone away, right?
Well, I'm trying to be fucking objective here. You shut the fuck up, right? Clearly, most people are choosing to use Ubuntu. Why do you think that is? I mean, Fedora's obviously making some really good strides in terms of what Fedora's doing.
Do you expect
doing.
Me to agree with that comment? Most people are choosing Ubuntu.
I'd say that if you go to most conferences, the majority of people are running Ubuntu. That's not me kind of lying to you. That's mm-hmm. just kind of the way
no,
it is.
I mean, when I went to FOSDEM. I mean,
when
most
I went to the Red Hat
running.
Summit, everyone was running Fedora. I couldn't believe it. No, when you were at FOSDEM, most people were running what?
We were running Ubuntu.
I really mean this as a genuine question. Looking at Fedora, it does look incredible. I've not run mm-hmm. Fedora 7 yet. I am going to run it, but...
I think the reason for
this... I'm just curious as to why Fedora isn't... kicking, you know, isn't on more desktops.
I think it's on a lot of desktops, but I think what we're seeing is your average technically interested computer user is maybe not even aware of what Linux is, but is hearing the word Ubuntu in the headlines.
Yeah.
So do you think it's largely publicity?
Yeah, because I think Ubuntu's getting all the big headlines and all the big splashes.
One... slight data point there is Mac people I talk to, because I don't have a reasonable amount of designers.
Yep.
They've all heard of Ubuntu. I'm not sure that they'd have heard of Red Hat. They might have heard of Red Hat, but I think they'd have heard of Fedora. They're hearing the word Ubuntu.
Yeah. Yep. And even put it together with Linux sometimes.
They're kind of aware that it's Linux, sort of, but it's Ubuntu. They're hearing Ubuntu and Ubuntu Linux
as
phrases. Whereas they're not that they may be hearing the word Red Hat, but I think they think of it as server stuff. They're certainly not hearing the word Fedora.
Because it's interesting, because I was thinking about this when I was talking to Max, and I was thinking about why... Why isn't Fedora better known? And I was thinking, you know, it's reasonably safe to say that, you know, a good reason for Ubuntu's success is that it's got Mark Shuttleworth behind it, it's got a lot of money and all the rest of it. But also, behind Fedora, although Fedora's an entirely community-based project, Red Hat fund people to look after it in the same way that Canonical fund people to look after Ubuntu. Mm-hmm. And Red Hat have got the massively dominant brand recognition in the Linux world.
Yes.
So I'd have thought they'd have had a head start. So that's what I mean. I don't mean it from a taking the piss perspective. I'm genuinely curious as to why.
Traditionally, they've always been server focused, and I think most people think of them in the server arena and in maybe the enterprise desktop arena.
Yes. And would you say that maybe inhibits their success? That people sort of think, "Hang on, they're really good at servers, but their desktop might be shit."
Incredibly successful.
I think.
How can you say Red Hat?
No, I mean inhibited
success.
No. I don't mean inhibit Red Hat success. I mean inhibits Fedora's success. Do you think people think Red Hat are really great in the server, but that means that their desktop might be a bit shit?
In the same way that Ubuntu doing really well at installing new codecs probably inhibits Ubuntu servers.
A lot of people think Ubuntu on the server, fuck that noise.
Absolutely. I'm
one of them now too.
Right, so do you think that before you even look at the technology, do you think that just the brand Do you think that the fact that Red Hat's really good at the server side means that
the same reason they use VMware, because they've been doing it for years, they're way ahead of everybody else in that arena.
Right. I've got two Ubuntu servers that are fucking all over the place at the moment. Whether that's just because they were...
Like I said, I'm not talking about technology. I'm talking about just the brand.
Yeah. Well, I think... I mean, to me, Ubuntu's getting all the headlines at the moment for your average Joe or Joanne. But I think probably Fedora as a community distribution, in the same way that Ubuntu's a community distribution, are not as good at screaming about what they're good at. They're not as good at self-advertisement.
Right.
That's a fair comment.
Okay, so anything else exciting and new in Fedora you want to talk about? It says they've got Xorg 1.3.
Yeah, which... Python 2.5, you'll be pleased.
Oh, you got Python 2.5.
Yeah, fuck knows, I don't know. I don't follow Python.
Do you know, it's weird when you look at release things. I've thought about this for all distros. You know, a lot of people sort of say, we've got this great new feature, and it's just a feature of the upstream thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not really a feature of the distro, is it?
Well, yeah, but distros aren't...
I mean, it is in turn a feature of the distro.
Distros aren't supposed to do internal... We've bollocked distros in the past for doing development and then keeping it all to themselves.
I'm not talking about keeping it all to themselves. I'm talking about developing out in the open, but saying, this is something we've developed...
No, sorry, but even keeping it... I don't mean keeping it all to themselves and keeping the code secret, but keeping it all to themselves and saying, we've got this brilliant new feature, but we haven't really put it upstream. It's just for our distro. You know, we've bollocked people for
that. I'm talking about additional things that distros develop, so, I mean...
Name something other than Upstart.
I'm not just...
Anything.
What, that any other distros worked on?
Any distro.
This new fucking thing for rolling derivatives.
Well, okay, no, okay, that's a reasonable thing, but...
SE Linux troubleshooting tool.
95% of the stuff in... But that's surely upstream, that's part of the SE Linux project.
The Easy Codec installer.
Oh yeah, brilliant! We should trumpet
I think
that.
Red Hat very good. Yeah, at
irrespective of your
tools.
Ethics, I'm talking about things that distros have developed. The value that a distro brings to it. You know.
Okay, no.
I think one more
I'm
point.
Just, go on. Yeah, just completely underwhelmed these days by like 6-monthly release cycles of another GNOME desktop. They're just all pretty much the same now, and I just don't get excited about them.
But I think
it used to be like when a new version of Red Hat came out, and I was going from 8 to 9, I'd be really interested. But now, like. Oh, yeah, Red Hat 8 or Fedora 8, whatever.
But I think different releases have different things for different people. So, for example, you know...
I run both, remember. I run Ubuntu on my laptop and I run Fedora on my desktop.
I'm not talking about differences between distros. I'm talking about when a new release of something comes out. So, for example, using Ubuntu, which is what I know best, as an example, Edgy might come out. And there'll be some stuff in Edgy that will get people really fired up, but there'll be some stuff that some people won't be that bothered. And then Feisty will come out and some people won't be that bothered, but other people will be like, oh, wow, this thing's in there, because it targets different people. So, for example... There's never a load of things, is there?
There's always like maybe one thing in there.
Oh yeah, well,
but that's just the limitations of the open source development process.
That's the limitations of 6-monthly releases. Is his point?
What I'm saying is that 6-monthly releases. It's not the open source development process is not going quick enough to warrant that kind of.
I do
change.
Completely understand your point that when releases come out now, they don't. They're not.
It's an
brilliantly
incremental
overwhelming.
I think it's always every 6-month release, be it Fedora or Ubuntu or SUSE or whatever, it's always just an iterative improvement.
Yeah.
If you didn't upgrade for 18 months and then upgrade, you'd be like, fucking hell, this is really good.
Yearly release cycles, at least, I say.
Skip every other release.
Yeah.
Yearly release cycle, then.
Yeah.
Fedora 2007, Fedora 2008, Fedora 2009.
No, I don't mean Fedora skip a release. You skip it. When Fedora Core 8 comes out, Fedora 8 comes out, just ignore it. You just go, I don't care about that. And then when Fedora 9 comes out,
I completely skipped Fedora 5.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, and then you get to be excited after 12 months.
Does that work? Can you go from
upgrade
5 to 7?
You don't have to go via 6.
One thing that's really strange, by the way, I'm not sure if this is going to happen in other distros, but you know how your hard drives are like /dev/... Well, from now on, they're all going to be /dev/S.
They're all SCSI.
Though my drives aren't SCSI. Which is the only weird thing that sort of went awry on mine is I'd got like a 3 drives with a mirrored partition. That was just sort of an aftermarket thing that I just configured myself. And they all were suddenly gone. Now, I could see the partitions were still there, and I was wondering, where have they gone? And it's because obviously all the drive letters had changed to S. So I had to go into my SCSI, into my RAID configuration.
I read about that somewhere.
Are you joking?
This is in 7.
Bloody lucky your root partition wasn't on it, eh?
Well, no, it wasn't.
Or your home directory or something. You log in here. You don't have a home directory. Boom.
Is that hitting the distros now? Is that in Fedora 7?
That's in Fedora 7.
God, I'd heard about it. I assumed that when they did the upgrade, they just quietly remap everything.
Well, they did for everything, apart from, as I say, I got this partition that I'd added afterwards into, like, Anyway,
I got one more point on Red Hat and Fedora. I think I missed the boat about 3 minutes ago or so, but I think the perception is that Fedora and Red Hat has always been quite a staid and comfortable distribution rather than being more cutting edge. And I think these days Fedora is looking really pretty sharp.
I'd say so.
I always thought it was quite Red Hat and Fedora are quite conservative.
It's I'd say really that definitely from looking at Fedora 7, it looks like there's some exciting stuff in there, and like it seems more exciting than a typical 6-monthly release.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't agree, but carry on.
But I don't know if that's because I'm not in the Fedora community and I don't know the kind of stuff that you know, tends to come out.
I think about using Fedora if Ubuntu went bad, and B, if Fedora didn't remind me of being at work.
Did you see the news earlier today that...
No, I don't have TV.
Michael Barron has been arrested.
Michael Barron has been arrested. Not for the reason you said before we recorded this segment. Linspire have struck a deal with Microsoft regarding patents and interoperability, which is Microsoft's favourite word.
The latest.
Which one, can you guess?
All of them.
Yeah, the latest firm to score a deal with Microsoft. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had Novell, which everyone got angry about, and then Zandros, Linspire, also LG, who are not a Linux distributor.
Didn't Samsung do the same thing?
I fucking hope not.
Really? Samsung?
I might be imagining it, but I'm sure there's another...
They made Jono's brand new telly.
Large East. There's a large East. I'm sure there's
even
another
Even my
large...
TV hates freedom.
So go on, Mr. Bacon. You wanted to bring this up.
Yeah, I'm not so interested in talking about that specific instance of Linspire and why they've done it, but there seems to be a trend here.
Is that because you're scared of Kevin?
And, terrified,
Moving on.
But, yeah, this seems to be... When the Novell thing was announced, I think it took a lot of people by surprise, and it obviously generated a shitstorm for Novell. And then Zandros did it, and it caused a shitstorm, but everyone hates Zandros anyway, so there's no major deal there. Linspire kind of fall in between the two camps, where they've got their critics, but a lot of people do like Linspire, and they fund a lot of upstream stuff and all the rest of it. But it seems to be an increasing trend, and
I really hate this trend.
Well, it's a
fucking bad trend.
I mean,
the
interesting thing I think about it is, if imagine Novell had never been part of it, they'd never approached Novell, or Novell had said no or whatever, then if it was just Zandros and Linspire, we'd say, well, you know, whatever, they're just
don't give a fuck,
who cares about them, they're minority distributions of an already minority operating system, who cares. But because Novell got in there first, it's now, I mean, it's a reasonable portion of the Linux market.
I can
question
see,
do you think if Novell, knowing what it knows now, could go back and make that decision again? Do you think they'll still do it?
I think they will.
I think the people who made the decision at Novell are the kind of people who would never see the response of the open source community.
Oh no,
the impression I get is that the people up high in Novell, and for legal and business reasons, in their eyes, it makes perfect sense.
It does.
And the shitstorm was relatively compact compared to what it could be.
Yeah.
In their eyes, the business is where they're focusing, and that's brought in a load of business for them.
To be honest with you, I can't imagine that... I don't want to say that the Novell people are out of touch with the community, because I don't think they are. I think they were aware what the community were going to say and thought, well,
no,
that's
not,
less important
hang
than
on,
the
hang on, just to clarify, I'm talking about the three or four people at the top of Novell.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm talking about RoboSapien.
I think they were aware that it was going to cause a shitstorm in the community and went, well, but that's less important to us than the busy deals for the next 4 years.
They were aware of the fact that... I think that's what John is
saying. I don't think they were
community
as
what?
Aware as that they I don't think they were particularly aware. I think they knew that it would cause a problem, but I don't think they probably knew the ramifications of the problem.
Oh, right.
And they probably had people further down the tree who were sort of saying to them, well, hang on, this is going
to
really fuck
to me, up. Right, the Microsoft Novell deal, really you can see the business level reasons why it's in both of their interests. First of all, I believe Novell probably needed to turn more of a profit out of their Linux business, because I think they've
out of their Linux business.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, they invested a lot of money, and they're not seeing the return.
Novell didn't need to, because they're such a cash-rich company.
I don't think that's the case.
I think they really are cash-rich.
Out of their entire profits, like 5% was Linux.
But also, I mean, in terms of the operability gains they're looking at with the Microsoft world, that's a big win for them. On the Microsoft side, first of all, it's a toe in the Linux waters. They can test the reaction to any possible GPL attack, as it were, but also Novell are very rich in networking technology, obviously, because that was their core business. And I believe there's a lot of stuff that they're looking at to do with directory things.
directory
sales. Yeah, that's it. Like that's the one.
My concern is that I don't think, like, some people will be saying this is bad because it's just a deal with Microsoft. To me, just a deal with Microsoft isn't necessarily a bad thing. But, like, so for example, with the Linspire thing, it's not just a patent coverage thing. Mm-hmm. They've struck some other deals with them, some other bits and pieces, which seem reasonably fair in the kind of business that Linspire are doing. And my guess is that Linspire are moving away from being a distro and more providing click and run as a service mm-hmm. to deliver software to other distros.
I think as a distro, they've never really taken off mainstream, have they?
The what?
As a distro, it's never really taken off.
Users. It's on machines in Walmart in the States.
It depends. Yeah, it depends on the target audience. I mean, yeah, in the community, no one fucking uses it, do they? But I suspect there's a lot of rednecks in caravans who are running Linspire.
Who are valued parts of the Linux community, and you meant to say that?
No, I think there's a lot of people who don't participate in the Linux community.
Yeah,
just using Linux doesn't make you part of the Linux community.
No, but we want to get those people using Linux.
We do. But you don't see many people who participate in the Linux community using Linspire.
Agreed.
Which is my point.
Do you think that Microsoft recently said that that Linux breaks so much, 200 and something,
263 or
whatever
it was.
But we're not going to tell you which ones. Do you think they should be allowed to say that?
We talked about that in the last show, didn't we?
I think
you
put this very well, I thought, in that really, as a tool, the patent thing is much better as a foot tool than it is saying, right, well, these are the patents that you infringe.
Why is anyone calling
them out? Let anybody fix them. Because if people are able to fix the problem, then the problem goes away and Microsoft will get nothing to shout about.
People are calling them out.
Sue me first.
So you mean why aren't the New York Times calling them out?
Exactly.
Yeah. For example.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, why should they? They've got no vested interest in Linux winning. We don't want Microsoft to do that because it screws up Linux. The New York Times couldn't give a shit if it screws up Linux or if it screws up Microsoft or whatever.
You shouldn't be able to make an allegation without any kind of foundation.
This is my primary concern with this whole issue, is the fact that striking deals with people like Novell and Linspire and Zandros... It's making this kind of thing the norm. Chunks of the Linux industry, not necessarily the community, but the industry, they're saying it's all right to do this.
That's my main concern. That's one of my concerns, that Linspire and Zandros in themselves, not that important. It's not that much bigger a deal than it was when it was just Novell. But instead of it feeling like you've got Microsoft and Novell sitting in a tree somewhere outside the community, we don't have to worry about it. It now feels like that the pool of people who've made this commercial patent exchange deal with Microsoft is the centre, and the rest of us have gone dotted around the outside a bit. What it's doing is it's polarising the open source community into the ones who care primarily about commercial stuff and the ones who care primarily about freedom in software. The worry is that, I mean, it was always kind of uneasy bedfellows, those two camps anyway, but we were working out a way of making them work together, saying, okay, people who care primarily about commercial stuff and want to use open source for the business benefits, and people who care primarily about freedom, we are all part of the same community. And largely now, we're not again. Now, all the commercial people are making cross-license patent deals with Microsoft. People like Novell, who we would have said... who I personally, at least, would have said they're much more commercial. They're not interested in Linux because of the freedom it brings. They're interested in it because of the business it brings. Mm. It's splitting the community back into those two halves again, which is really bad.
I don't think that's ever going to win the war. It's never going to reduce the Linux community to a point where we just go, oh, fuck this, we can't be asked to write software anymore. I don't think the patent situation is ever going to bring us to our knees.
Yeah. That's the thing, is that in my mind, yes, there is a divide. There's always going to be that divide, and that divide existed before these kinds of patent deals. I think
the divide was narrowing, and now it's starting to open back up.
I don't think it was. I think there's always going to be divide. There's always going to be some people who are more interested in it for business reasons, and some more interested for freedom reasons or community reasons.
Do you believe that Novell are more or less part of the community now, part of the Linux community in the way you think Linux should work? Do you think they're more or less part of that now than you did before the patent deal?
I don't treat Novell as a single entity. I treat people like RoboSapien at the top, and people like Miguel and Joe Shaw, who are on the ground, I treat them as different sets of people. I can't see them.
He's asking about Novell, not about people, though, isn't he?
But yeah, in terms of the whole company, then I'd say that the people who are more reflective of that company are the people at the top. In which case, then they are less a part of the community in some ways. But
that's the part I'm trying to make about the divide. The divide was starting to narrow. You were feeling close to Novell, and now you feel further away.
To me, it's not the issue of whether we feel close or they're part of us or whatever. It's validating a broken system is what this is doing.
Yes.
The system's fucked. And to me, you know, an intrinsic message in free software is that software patents is a broken system in the way it's implemented right now. And for a company who's invested in free software to support that broken system, to me, is wrong. And that's the issue that I have, is that they're broken. They're supporting a broken system. Whether they are moving close to us or moving against us, or whatever. You know, yes, it's a bad. You know, that's a bad thing from Novell. But Novell have done so much great work in terms of supporting upstream software development and paying lots of developers to do this, that, and the other. And that they support OpenSUSE and all that great stuff. But they're supporting a broken system, which is a negative thing. And my concern is that specific thing.
Patents are only a broken system if you believe in freedom, though. If you don't believe in freedom, if you're there for the business, they're not a broken system at all. They're a way of you making money out of the software.
What do you mean by
got.
Freedom? You mean software freedom or freedom in general?
Software freedom. If you're believing software freedom, software patents are a broken system.
I believe
Microsoft don't think software patents are. They're not going, well, we think software patents are a shit idea, but we've got to live with it because that's the way the world is, which is kind of the Novell argument.
I believe
to some extent, the Sun argument is, well, yes, we're going to fight against it, but to be honest with you, they're here now, so we've got to learn to live with them while they're here.
I think it depends.
Microsoft are all in favour of the idea. I think they're bloody great.
I think it depends on whether you believe in exclusivity of ideas or implementation. That's the difference. I think there's
that sentence didn't mean a lot.
I think
you'll break that down.
So people, you know, the software patents means that you can exclusively patent an idea.
Yes.
In the US, right? Whereas I think a lot of people believe that it's fine to protect an implementation of an idea. So it's wrong to patent the idea of a car, but it's all right to maybe patent the idea of a Ford probe, as an example.
Okay.
Right? It's the idea of patenting the idea of a general car that's wrong. And I think a lot of people who write proprietary software follow that perspective as well. I don't think you just people who believe in software freedom, as in free as in beer, free as in speech and everything.
The problem with that argument, take FAT as an example, the FAT file system. What you're saying is Microsoft shouldn't be able to patent the idea of FAT and the way FAT works. They should only be able to patent their implementation of it. Yeah,
I think that's not what
a patent is. That's copyright.
No, he's saying the idea of a file system,
a file system.
Be patentable.
But you think the idea of a FAT file system should be patentable?
I don't want to turn this into a debate about patents. My point here is that I don't believe it's only free software people who think that software patents are bad. And my concern is that we stop, in the Linux community, we don't concentrate too much on Novell are the bad guys, Zandros are the bad guys, Linspy are the bad guys, that we focus on, you know, on them as whole companies being bad. It's supporting a broken system.
So that's the bad thing. So fight against it.
Yeah, and that's what we need to do. And
contribute money to, you know, the open rights group, people like that, people who are fighting against it. I mean, we individually could fight against software patents, but we're not going to get very far. You need to lobby MPs, lobby your European MP. If you're American, lobby your congressman, that kind of thing.
It's not the end of the show. This is the Grandmaster Final of Get Hold Linux.
Yes, it is.
Why
it's
did
exciting.
You put that bit in there?
Because it's not the end of the show.
It's not the end of the show at the beginning of every other segment.
Anyway.
I know, but this is specifically
not the beginning of the show.
You know you were saying earlier on about we never take the piss out of you. You fucking muppet.
Right, so what we're doing here with Getting Hold Linux, we have had many entries, and well done
and
to all of you.
We've also had quite a lengthy discussion.
Yes, we have. We argued long and hard about this. The fact is that we've had enough entries to make it too difficult to work out exactly who was the highest.
And because we can't actually make a decision, enter a hat.
And it must be said as well that one of the entries that we were impressed with was Laszlo, who's a friend of LaGrade and a friend of the Jukosha project, and we don't want anyone to think that we're kind of stooging it for him. So basically what we've done is...
So if he wins now, what's that going to look like?
We haven't drawn out the hat now. It's going to be random.
We've picked what we think
are... They've only got a word for that.
Hang on. Listen to the hat.
because we couldn't decide whether planes counted or not, and whether it was fair that you live in a town with a really tall tower and other people don't, or whatever.
Or you just airbrushed the moon
under your laptop. So we basically picked what we think are the three coolest entries.
And they are. So we've got...
they are. There's a chap called Sam who sends a picture of Linux on the moon.
Yeah, very funny and witty.
Are we actually going to pull it live? Because we're all going to
We're all going to pull it live.
Yeah. Yes.
But aren't we all going to do our own...
Yes, no, we are. There's Laszlo, who went to the top of the CN Tower in Toronto... And there's Ken Fallon, who stood on a slide in his back garden in the Netherlands and got about 1 foot above sea level.
He was the first entry. He was the comedian.
So let's pick.
So basically, we've got the three entries in the hat. We're all going to pick an entry and then put it back in again after each
and
pick.
And then pass it around the next one.
Whoever's the winner, then that's...
Then there's going to be a league table. It's all very complex.
Yeah, and then we have to like calculate the square root like we do in Debian elections.
Can we fucking get on with it?
I believe if it comes out as a tie, me as a new person has been voted as pulling...
As tiebreaker picker. Yes.
Right, I'm going to pick one, okay?
Pick one.
And the first one is... It's... Sam Tiger.
Oh, the excitement, the tension is palpable.
Give Sam Tiger a point.
Isn't that Tyler?
Tiger.
I shuffle the hat. Shuffle. And I pick...
And
shuffle.
It's not the first time I've shuffled on a radio show.
And I pick this one, and that's Ken Fallon.
Ken! Ooh.
Fold it up, yeah?
Yep, I did fold it up. Oh. No, I put it in there with Ken Fallon written on it so you can see it.
Incidentally, Jono thought that if we doubled the amount of pieces of paper with the same names on, the odds would be different.
Yeah.
Right.
Jono believes that two out of six is different to one out of three.
Here we go.
Ken Fallon. Oh, no.
Oh, go. It's Ken.
Not yet. Adam gets to pick.
Wow.
Into the lead.
Ken's in the lead. So, this is the decider, hopefully.
Okay. Well, it could be a tie.
I hope it's a decider.
It's Laszlo.
Oh, no.
Ken wins.
Ken Fallon.
Congratulations, Ken. You've won yourself a fantastic.
For being the lowest entry.
There's a lot of people out there going, what? He fucking get low with Linux. That's no good.
He's won a Nokia N800.
He has won a Nokia N800. Kindly donated by the people at Nokia. Thank you very much for that.
Thanks, Kim Gill, for the donation of the prize. So,
fantastic.
Great stuff. Congratulations, Ken. Send us your address and we'll send it over to Hello Dareland in
the Netherlands.
Yeah, he's going to fucking love you for that, isn't he?
Well, fucking, he's just got an N800 out of
us. He's welcome to give the N800 back.
We've got free reign now. I've never even put that fucking shirt.
Also, not the end of the show, it's the emails segment.
We have decided to put the emails segment in a separate section because who's got... MPT's email.
It's me, I've got it here. Do you want me to read it now?
It would be appropriate. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So we've had an email from Matthew Paul Thomas, that's MPT, saying, it's not the end of the show. To whom it may concern, in your most recent episode you said, it's the end of the show, 32 minutes and 57 seconds before the end of the show.
Go us.
I think that's a record. Cheers.
We rock.
Good man.
So we've now moved the emails to a separate segment all by themselves.
Just so it's not the end of the show.
Just in front of the end of the show.
A good point and well argued there by Mr. Thomas. Thank you very much for that.
Should we go this way?
Yes, Mr. Bacon. We've had
an email from Auk. O-O-U-C.
Auk. Isn't that what Usenet used to run on before there was the internet?
That was UUC, wasn't it?
Is he UU encoded? UUCP it was.
Get your binaries here. Anyway, free ticket to Lug Radio 3-minute talk. He says, I deserve free ticket to Lug Radio because I'm willing to take a drink of water. Because I'm willing to take a drink of free water from the UK public water system. I'm too cheap to buy... drinks for the Lug Radio team, but I did go to Nias Island after the earthquake that broke every water pipe on the island. What the fuck is he talking about?
You'll get his point later. Okay. On just for the day.
This guy's on crack. I showed people how to clean out Wells Black with sewage after every aftershock earthquake. Is that too much aftershock that he's been drinking? about 4 hours apart. Then I showed them how to filter the water through coconut husks on brooms. He's been watching TV.
You could have missed that bit out, to be honest. You'll get his point.
And put on the roof of the focal point of Parabola in order to...
Parabola.
Parabola. It's like an elite military bowler.
The elite of the
poker. Thank God you went to university.
I'd scan down.
A UK drink might be good or bad for me. I have only one kidney. I will be coming from Indonesia for this and Guadec. My primary purpose is coming to inspire people to do what I have done and what I want to do, but cannot do alone. I would like to make a 3-minute talk about the free educational and job skills software for the tsunami earthquake victims whose previous life, blah, 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 blah.
Excellent. So he wants.
It sounds great, actually.
He wants to be part of Adam Sweet's gong-a-thong light bulb talk extravaganza.
I might give him an extra 3 minutes to tell us more about his one kidney situation.
So definitely, Ook, come along and be part of the gong-a-thong extravaganza.
And so, also getting free because you're an international visitor.
Great to have someone. Yeah. First time, a first listener from Indonesia, I think.
We had someone from the Philippines. First visitor to Look Radio Live from Indonesia. Yep. Unless Singapore's in Indonesia, is it?
I don't know.
He says being a bit short on geography knowledge. There's loads of people in Singapore going, no, it's like 9,000 miles away,
it's
man.
Not that far away. But
next email, I reckon.
But yes, good one. Email from Jim Pie.
You fucking pie eater.
Jim Pie.
Honestly, his name's Pie.
It's quite a punchy little name.
I frightened the shit out of him. He was
2.14.
I frightened the shit out of him the other day.
3.14.
Someone who's scared in the Midlands.
Jim Poy. He's a bit Jim Poy.
Yeah, you lot can
Jim
all fuck
Poy
off.
Jim Poy -1 if you're eight.
Read on.
It's a special mathematics show moving here on. Today on Lug Radio.
Moving on.
As usual, listening to you made me think about how governments, made me think about governments and how they're being more invasive in our day-to-day life. Your spiel about the life recorder was interesting and you guys say it won't happen.
I said it will happen.
How about the cameras just introduced in the UK that now have the ability for the watcher to yell back to the person being watched, telling them to pick up the rubbish they just dropped, etc., which is perfectly true. They just rolled out a lot of CCTV cameras here people in some central place can watch what you're doing, and then there's a speaker and they go, you drop some litter, pick the litter up, and everyone's going to shit themselves.
You see, Big Brother's on TV is creating a whole generation of people who get excited about watching CCTV, isn't it?
Go and watch a film called Taking Liberties. It's out in UK cinemas now. It is shocking.
You on fucking commission or something?
No, I'm all in favour of aid here. Yeah. He says, if the technology gets to that point, I can see that governments will maybe make it compulsory if you want to travel or some other requirement, as you stated with the insurance companies. This sounds a lot like the DNA profiling that was just announced, where they can now tell what medical issues you will have in the future. Yes, there are a lot of civil liberties concerns around basically everything that's going on at the moment, including a life recorder if someone ever invents it. Thank you, Jim Pie Eater. Sorry, Jim Pie.
Eater.
Okay, so I've got an email from a guy who lives in Lyon, France. And he and his family are coming over for Lug Radio Live. Now, it's a little bit on the long side, so hopefully you'll bear with me. The email's not long, but actually reading it might take a while.
Okay.
Myself and my 14-year-old son will be coming over for Lug Radio Live as part of a 2-week visit to Britain from Lyon, France. I have no idea what time the event starts on the 7th, so we can tell him about that. Is it 10 or 11?
It's half past 10, the doors open.
Half past 10, so there you go. That's one question.
I thought doors opened at 10.
Let's say 10. Okay. 10 the doors open.
Okay, so
it's all clear on the Lug Radio Live website.
And to be honest with you, if you turn up at 10 and the doors are closed, then just wait 15.
There's going to be a load of people there queuing up for 10 o'clock anyway.
It's also not clear what time it finishes on the 8th.
That's definitely on the schedule.
Right. That finishes at 4.
The last talk is at 4, and then we get to talk to you and say goodbye for about 15 minutes. So we'll be done by about 4:15.
Okay, now that's good, because the reason he wants to know is because he said he's going to be staying in a B&B in London, which they've already booked for 2 weeks, and they'll be paying for every night anyway. So they want to know, is it worth coming up on the 6th, so the night before?
So the Friday night,
yeah,
definitely.
Yep, we think it is. So yeah, come up the night before.
Hang on.
Oh, hang on, and going back to London?
No. Part of the reason
you're staying in Wolverhampton.
Part of the reason we think it's a good idea to come up on the Friday night is that quite a few people meet up on the Friday night and have a few beers. But there's him and his 10-year-old son.
14.
What he's saying is, can I get up to Wolverhampton for Lug Radio Live from London on the Saturday morning? And the answer is yes, if you're prepared
quite
to get
easily.
Up early.
Yeah, no, it's about an hour and a half on the train to Birmingham.
How long's the train?
I don't know what the earliest train is, but you'll certainly be able to get a train from London. At 6-ish,
so you could travel on a Saturday morning.
It's if you want to be on a train at about 6 o'clock
and easily make it.
Basically, if you want to go from London to Wolverhampton, you can get a train from the trains. I think every 40 minutes from Euston in London, and they take precisely 2 hours to get there, and they're direct.
So you get on a train at 8 o'clock, and
we're right by the train station.
Yeah, we're literally
right by the train station.
And he was also saying, is it worth him staying over on the 8th? Well, I don't think it really is. You know, we'll be finished quite early on the 7th.
There is going to be a social event on the Sunday evening at one of the hotels, but that's
generally, it's, well, traditionally, as in last year, it was the Lug Radio Hardcore. Everyone's welcome, but they organise it. So there will be a social event, but it's not going to be kind of a big thing.
And it's the sort of thing that's likely to not even kick off till 8 o'clock at night. So that would mean staying up late and staying another night.
You are welcome to come, though,
if you
would
like. You're absolutely welcome
another
to come.
Another issue with Friday night is the British drinking laws are 18 and above only, and this is a city centre bar where we normally meet up, and they're likely to have door staff who won't let your...
Yeah, so the consensus is travel up on a Saturday, you're going to have loads of time, travel back on the Sunday afternoon.
Travel back on the Sunday evening, yeah.
And really, yeah, so we're looking forward to seeing you.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Yep. From Lyon, France.
Excellent. Which means you're both international visitors, so you don't have to pay.
Wicked.
Right. Oh, no, hang on. Didn't he say he was coming anyway? Did we have a policy on international visitors who are on holiday anyway?
Oh, no, fuck it.
Don't win any prizes for being the furthest travel, that's all. Australian lying arsehole.
Two hotel rooms in two different cities on the same night.
I think that's a good point. Well argued. Yeah, okay. Yeah. We can cut him off.
Mr. Sweet.
Okay, I have an email from Ewan Lang, and this is one for Aid, I believe. And it's entitled
Humphrey, right?
No. Ah. It's entitled Humphrey Pumphrey, My Arse.
Is that some kind of instruction? Go on, Humphrey.
Go on, sweetheart. I know it's tighter back there.
It's a genuine...
Oh, for goodness
sake. Do it
sake.
For me.
I was genuinely told that story.
Yep. He says, hello, bored at work today. I decided to Google for Humphrey Pumphrey. Turns out he was a character in some 70s sitcom. See here, and it's ian.wikipedia.org/wiki/George_and_Mildred.
It was in George and Mildred?
Yep. What other lies have you been telling?
Some of our awesome listeners really do quite like to piss on our bonfire sometimes.
From a great height.
So just because he was a character in a soap opera means he doesn't actually exist in real life. Is that what he's saying?
He doesn't go on to specify that, enough. But can we believe anything you guys say?
Well, of course not.
Shut up, you believe everything we say. We haven't been wrong on that one thing, but the last four series, that's the only thing we've ever been wrong on.
Wasn't wrong.
He says, perhaps a humiliating retraction is in order.
Bite me.
Go away. Go away. Retract it humiliatingly.
Doo-doo.
Kind regards, Ewan Lang. P.S. Keep up the good work. Love the show, really.
Great stuff. We have hang on. I'm going to choose which one of these is most interesting, because we've had quite a few interesting...
We've had a lot of emails.
We've had quite
a
few good ones.
Thank you. We like it, by the way. Keep it up.
Okay, so we've had an email from Greg Hauptmann. And,
I thought you were going to say Greg Bollock then, for some reason. I don't know
Greg
why.
Bollock.
Whatever happened to Greg Bollock?
I don't know.
Dropped a bollock.
Just Greg then.
Now known as Greg. The artist formerly known as Greg Bollock. Greg Bollock Hauptmann says, hi chaps, I'm...
Doesn't he work on the Colonel?
That's Greg Crower. Fucking Crower, Hoer.
Hoer,
Hoer. Isn't that Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
And getting on with it.
No, Melissa, she's Melissa Joan Hart.
Not that we know or anything.
I imagine.
Didn't they star in Heart to Heart?
Fucking owned.
Heart to Heart. Jesus.
That was Stephanie and Jonathan Hart. Played by Powers Booth, I think, and somebody.
But didn't they present that show with the gallery?
That was Tony Hart.
in
the show Take Heart, then Heartbeat.
The daisy chaining random shit.
So, hi, chaps.
Isn't that the big red pumping thing in your chest?
Fuck off.
Not enjoying his chest.
That's just a steel.
Jollo, publisher with a heart of lard.
That's a Judas Priest song.
Moving on.
I'm only a new Lug Radio listener of about four shows. You fucking noob.
Have a pop at the new guy.
What are you saying? He's a noob.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really.
No way.
Yeah, way.
I'm only a noob. I've about four shows. I've pretty much enjoyed these shows so far, but I do ask myself the question at the end of each podcast, how much have I actually learned about Linux in this episode?
Nothing.
Noting this was the reason I subscribed.
Linux actually shows you want to learn stuff.
That was your first mistake.
We've tried to be informative.
And
once or twice.
And we failed. Surprising I found myself pondering...
Put off that kick drum, Bacon.
Sorry. Surprisingly, I found myself pondering whether I'd actually learned anything at all about Linux in each episode, and hence the reason for some feedback from a fresh set of ears. What, as in they're in a bucket or something?
Just wash them.
Just come out the fridge.
I'll be honest with you, the bloke does make a point, you know.
Any chance of having, say, just a short section on each podcast that teaches or informs us something about Linux? A couple of ideas. Overview of Mac OS X and how its history fits
with... teach you about Linux?
What? Overview of Mac OS X and how its history fits in with Unix/Linux, etc.
Over my dead body.
I think that's a no. Overview of the build process for various Linux distributions.
I think, perhaps, I mean, this is not specifically that technical, but I think there's a Linux desktop show, is there? That is aimed at new Linux like that, users, yeah. Maybe that, maybe that would be useful to him, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we do
occasionally encourage him to go listen to someone else.
You can go, no, I've seen that show, so you can go and visit it, zzzzz.board.
Yeah. To be honest, I got three...
No, that's not very nice. Part of the reason we don't do really technical stuff is that listening to a podcast is a really, 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 really crappy way of learning hardcore technical information.
You can't demonstrate anything.
Okay, CD space, /etc, /src, whatever, you know.
To be honest, I don't think we'd be able to...
Adam's read a URL out earlier and I was bored halfway through.
I don't think we'd be able to explain anything technical without pissing ourselves and losing the thread, and it would be just boring.
Pissing ourselves and losing the thread.
What's in /etc/source?
Anything you want. It's your computer.
Okay, thanks.
Etc. Source. Common directory.
You are proving the point, incidentally.
Sorry, yeah, it's a very good point and well argued.
Next.
Email from Brian Delaney, who
has...
Is
he a cop? What? It's got a very cop-like name.
Brian Delaney.
What? Yeah.
Delaney.
The Sweeney.
There's he has a couple of points. The first one is taking the piss out of stupid people's names. Apparently they had a female American exchange student come over when they were at school, and her name was Randy Mansucker.
Yeah, I read that one.
And I can see that guy who wrote in to give me a bollocking penning another one immediately.
There is no one in the world called Randy Mansucker.
Well, no. Brian Delaney swears blind it's true. He also swears blind that his sister-in-law, who's a nurse at a maternity hospital, told him about a woman who gave birth to twin boys and called them Benson and Hedges because that's what cigarettes she smoked. Lucky she doesn't smoke Rothmans, then is
she? She lives in Wolverhampton.
These are my sons, Players, Number One, and Special. Anyway, his other point was he finds the level of compliance on bog standard out of the box laptops pretty good. He's got a compact Presario M2000.
Bog standard?
Yeah.
Is that some kind of standard set by toilet manufacturers around the world? Flush capacity.
Oh no, there's a good thing. He's got a compact Presario M2000. His wife's got a compact Presario V2000. Both of them completely different laptops, obviously. Totally different, not at all the same. They're different as two completely dissimilar things in a pod. They apparently both work fine under Feisty and Edgy with everything bar the Broadcom wireless cards.
A subject close to your heart, I believe.
Indeed. As I understand it, though, under Feisty they work fine as long as every time you look at the non-feelies, you just go, oh, my eyes, I couldn't see it, and move on.
Something more important.
You know
today.
What? Nobody's misery is quite as funny as his, is it?
Exactly. Adam points at Ack.
Apparently not. Anyway, yes, thank you, Brian.
So true.
He makes a good point. Compliance on bog standard laptops is fine, apart from Broadcom wireless cards, which is generally the truth across the laptop industry. So thank you very much, Brian Delaney.
Richard writes into the Lug Radio team.
Richard who?
I don't know, but you won't care because listen to this email. Really like the show, blah, blah, blah. So a good start.
I think I know which one this is.
Okay. Why don't you put the links for podcasts in this order? Low OG, high MP3, low MP3, high OG. Why not low arg, high arg, whatever. I'm not even going to read the rest of it.
Ed throws emails on floor, incidentally. Yeah. So, you've made my studio
a thanks for your comments, by the way. He was sure that we weren't going to read it out, but we did, just to surprise you. any comments on the order in which you list the podcasts?
No.
Right, okay, moving on.
The order is just, you know... Whatever, dude.
Fucking
board.
I've got quite a lot of emails here I'd like to read, so I'm going to tack two together here if nobody minds.
Two at the same time, but
he's
a DP.
Been here 5 minutes.
As long as you're quick.
Well, first one, Mr. Ben writes in. He's got going on about the funny name thing. Following the discussion on unfortunate names, I thought I would share a few from me and a few friends. Wayne King. Wayne King. Enjoy yourself.
Andrew, what would you need to be able to Wayne King?
Come again?
I like this one. Andrew and Paul Ness. That's Mr. A. Ness and Mr. P. Ness.
Oh, when goodness. I first read that, I didn't get it.
I thought it was some
reference to the Nessies.
I was like, how old are you lot? Six.
Anus and penis.
Forgot, yeah, we get it.
Okay. I'm not sure whether this is one name or not. It's not. There's no commas. Terry Christmas, Teresa Green.
I know someone called Teresa Green.
And the other one I wanted to read, I'm not going to give him too much.
No, the idea is it's Teresa Green. The name, you know, because trees are green. And he's the idea behind it.
Terry Thanks Christmas. For explaining
Thanks
that.
Thanks for that. None of us got that.
The quick one I went...
That was random, wasn't it?
The other one I wanted to read is just to get us moving along. And I'm not going to give him too much love.
We're not moving along.
Well, I mean, we could be here for days because I mean, there's a lot of emails. I'm not going to give
sacks are bulging.
I'm not going to give him too much love because he's always had quite a bit of love already this evening. Ken Fallon, you've won an Nokia N800, so
it will be filled with our love.
Adam, are you a little bit bitter about this?
I'm really fucking jealous. Actually, I really want one. So right, fucking now, right? Send me one as well. N800. Somebody send me one, please.
Okay. Adam's already getting into the Lug Radio spirit. It's a means to get free stuff.
Yeah, I was just thinking he's very much fitting into Matt's shoes, isn't it?
You see, you get nothing. I can have that fucking mini mouse, right?
Shut up about the frigging mini mouse.
All I wanted was a mini mouse.
You wanted a mini mouse that was donated to us to give away as a prize.
A mini mouse is in a miniature human interaction device.
A certain comment from you earlier on about
Shut up.
Anyway, sorry to draw you back to the... Hi, lads. First, a big thanks to Matt and a big welcome to Adam. Thanks, Kent. On to the request. It has come to my attention that you've organised Lug Radio Live on the same weekend that my daughter is getting christened. For some reason, my metal-loving atheist wife... Hey? Yeah, he wants us to move Lug Radio Live.
No, move the christening.
No, maybe. Bring your daughter to Lug Radio. I mean, we can provide, like, a bowl on the stage or something.
Adam Sweet's christening gongathon extravaganza.
I don't think those two things should be photographed together, I don't think. Anyway, so just postpone Lug Radio Live for a few weeks so I can attend. If you're going to be so ungracious to continue without me, at least consider moving Lug Radio Live over to the Netherlands so he can do it all at the same time.
I'll tell you what, we'll give you an N800 instead. Hopefully that should alleviate your pain a little bit.
I'm sure we will, actually. Bastard.
Right, I'm going to make this the last one because we're running out of time. We've had an email from Ben Ranking. And it's actually his name as well.
Ranking.
Gentlemen. He seems to insinuate we're not gentlemen. We are perfect gentlemen. It's the fact that you are not gentlemen that makes your show so appealing. I listen to the podcast at work with headphones. Yes, the other thing...
Yeah, not safe for work.
Yes, the others think I'm going crazy by wearing the headphones. And definitely get upset when the episode is over.
Oh.
So you should.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Can I draw your attention to the rewind button?
I didn't write in to say that I like the length, the way it is, because till now, I did not know it was under debate. The episode is currently a good length, or possibly too short, but I would be disappointed if they were shortened. Just your information. So, thanks very much. We are getting a lot of email about length.
More than I expected were saying keep it long.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, no, absolutely.
We're going to try and keep shows reasonably... compact, but as this show will be a demonstration, we're pretty bad at it.
Probably
I mean, when you say reasonably compact, you mean we're trying to keep down to 74 minutes.
Yeah,
and we're
failing
badly. We're not doing very well.
That's not a compact show, really, is it?
No.
I'm not really. The only other thing I need to mention is
a
concession request. Because anyone else have any concession requests before I read this one out? This is from Dave Murphy, Schwack, who says, I would like a concession... for two reasons. The first one is I'm schwack, and reason two is see reason one.
Oh, confidence.
Yeah, exactly. Fantastic.
Well-placed confidence, it seems.
Yes. So that seems perfectly reasonable to me. Yes, schwack, you can have a concession. Has anyone else got any concessions?
No. Can I have a concession because I am also schwack?
You can have a concession because you fucked
I'm schwack.
And so's my wife.
So, shall we talk about Lug Radio Live?
Oh, we can't do that.
We're going to end the segment.
Ah.
This is the email segment. Completely separate.
Cunning. Okay. Let's end it.
So, goodbye. See you in the next
segment. Send your emails to show@lugradio.org.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yes.
And don't forget the voicemail number.
Which is?
0845 86 89 85 5.
Excellent.
Well done, Ace. I'm impressed you remembered it without any kind of editing. Excellent.
I'll be honest with you, we forgot it as well.
Everyone's
forgotten
it. So, yes,
send us new emails and send us voicemails.
Cool.
Lug Radio Live registration is now open.
Bring it on!
Yes, absolutely. So go to lugradio.org/live and click on the register link, and you can register to come. It will cost you a fiver. As you know, if you've written into us with a concession request, then you'll be able to say, I want a concession.
But importantly...
This is an important point, right?
Doesn't it cost you £3 if you register?
No.
On the day?
No. It costs you the same amount whether you register in advance or pay on the door.
Ah,
because it keeps my accounting simple. But this is important.
Is this a change?
No. It's always been like that. He's not even been part of a frigging team and he knows, fool.
Ack points to Adam.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I keep forgetting about the whole radio.
He looks clueless.
Anyway, back to the point, right? Even if you're a speaker or an exhibitor or you're planning on paying on the door, we'd appreciate it if you could go to lugradio.org/live, click on the register link, and then click on the I want to pay on the door or I'm an exhibitor or I'm a speaker link, because then we'll have an idea how many of you are coming.
Yeah.
That would be very handy. So if you want to pay in advance, go pay a fiver. It's done with no check, so you can pay on any credit card or anything like that if you want.
And a quick summary, we've got 40 speakers, we've got a full exhibition, we've got Birds of a Feather sessions, we've got...
Don't forget the gong-along.
Adam Sweet's gong-along light bulb talk extravaganza.
We've got the masturbate, we've got the Hour of Power, we've got social stuff on the Friday night, the Saturday night, and the Sunday night. We've got key signing, there's all kinds
of... We've got a load of really cool prizes.
Loads of cool prizes. Yep. And... It's just going to be lots of surprises and fun, and
it's going to be the event
and
of
I
the
believe,
year.
I've looked at the registrations that have come in so far, and I believe a reasonable proportion of them are girls.
Yeah, it's good to see the female count increasing. There was a reasonable number of women last year, so it's good to encourage more women along to open source.
Didn't they just come along to potentially give me a kick in?
Hopefully,
right.
That's not what fight you came for.
But yes, we'd love to hear you. So go to lugradio.org/live and click on register.
Yes,
really important. And we'll see you in about 2 weeks. And a bit weeks.
2 and a bit weeks. Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Cool.
This right here is the end of the show.
Yeah.
Okay, Matthew, Paul, Thomas, start your stopwatch now.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Been a good show, I think.
Yep, no, enjoyed that.
It's been cool. It's weird not doing the emails right now, isn't it?
No, but it's a whole new, fresh lookout when there's only two shows to go before Lug Radio Live. This one and the next one.
This is a great time to point out the awesome community that we've got. So go to forums.lugradio.org to take part in our bustling forums. Obviously, send feedback, questions, amusing emails, stupid names to show@lugradio.org.
And drawings of the presenters.
Yes.
That you were talking about on the last show. Nobody has.
Send it. There was one on the forums that was quite ridiculous.
Really?
But yeah. That
one.
We're quite interested in seeing your artistic impressions of the Lug Radio presenters. Also, there's #LugRadio and Freenode, where a bunch of the slightly unusual Lug Radio community people
It's an IRC channel for those of you who are thinking, what?
And speaking of #LugRadio, there's the podcast about a podcast, which is at planet.lugradio.org/#LugRadio.
Indeed. Yes.
Planet.lugradio.org. Which is the Clan Gaming. Yes, they
are.
The last few times I've been, and there's been nobody playing at the time, so I guess we could do with some arses in there.
I was going to say, if you're interested in doing some, I was going to say LAN gaming there, but internet gaming.
And right, and right now, the most important thing is lugradio.org/live for Lug Radio Live, which is on the 7th and 8th of July. So
yes, absolutely.
Bring it on!
Don't forget to leave us an audio comment on 0845 86 89 855.
Wicked.
Talk to you in 2 weeks.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Bye.